You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left. Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup! Lightning strikes twice! The Tampa Bay Lightning win their second straight Stanley Cup!
Well, hello and welcome to RBLR Sports. Sorry for the rough intro there. I still am figuring out this new platform, man. I don't really have too many things that tell me what's going on with it. But I'm Joe Zamataro, in for Jake Ricker, who once again is out on assignment. Being patient next to me is Matt Gannon. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm glad I'm properly oriented for you now. We're fixing these bugs one by one, so maybe we'll get the timing down soon enough.
That's exactly right. I mean, I switched browsers. That seemed to fix, you being upside down for me. But then all of a sudden, I don't know. We're getting it worked out one thing at a time. We have a lot to get to really quickly because obviously there's a game that's going to be starting here in about an hour. So we'll try pushing through some things and some news to get to real quick. With that being Brandon Hagel's out of this game as well. So mark the third game in a row that he's going to be missing. I guess it kind of blew up the Twitter sphere in terms of Buffalo fans saying that he's chickening out after the interaction with Darlene last game when we played Buffalo a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, that's some 4D chess if Coop held him out for three games in order to make it look like he was only missing because of injury and illness, not because he was actually too chicken to answer the call.
If they never did that going into games against the Florida Panthers, they would never do it against Buffalo. And it's crazy that this guy just always, kind of like Rasmus Dahlin, just seems to have a target on his back for whatever reason. We don't all know Hagel. He's he does play that style. He gets people, you know, pretty pissed off at him. So I can totally understand, but there's no way Buffalo's going to be
headhunting.
They're not the Panthers or anything like that. Hopefully, whatever he is dealing with, I mean, we don't really know if it is illness or injury, whatever it might be. It seems like illness has kind of gotten a couple guys on the team so far, and that's just a, you know,
something that does
pass in time. So hopefully that's what it is. But keep him rested.
Get
him fresh for the playoffs, which we did officially clinch,
actually.
We did. So did Buffalo. They're celebrating this home game for themselves by, I don't know, they have something with their sabers, like beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
swords. The beer saber.
The beer sabers. I don't know if they're giving them away or they're just available for sale. They're pretty cool. I kind of want one for myself. That'd be pretty neat to have on hand. But, I mean, last game did get pretty heated. These two teams are directly next to each other in the standings. Right now we've got one game in hand, but are 2 points ahead of them. And, you know, it's, in terms of the standings, it's almost anyone's guess still who is going to be playing who with these matchups. Because like I said, only 2 points separates us and Buffalo for head of the Eastern Conference. Obviously, if you're in second, there's a pretty solid chance you're going to be playing one of, I mean, I guess for that matter, Montreal's is right there with the same number of points as Buffalo. So it's the Atlantic is still really anyone's to win.
It's been one of the best races across all the divisions, the wild card races, everything, but specifically this Atlantic division has been so entertaining to watch because it's
full of good teams.
It's not like the Pacific division where it seems like nobody wants to win.
Yeah.
It's just the biggest
mid-off ever. No,
all the teams that, you know, are in it for the Atlantic and even the Metro for that matter,
it's a bit of a
bloodbath right now.
Obviously, I think the Atlantic is the strongest in the division, and
I hate
saying that because that's where we play.
And I, of course, you know, I want some competition, but
man, it sucks.
I wish we could get
like an easy pass to the,
you know, the
first in the division,
kind of like Carolina gets
every year,
or the spot
right
in the Pacific that nobody does want.
Well, talking about how good the East has been, still, I don't think I've ever seen this in the history of me watching hockey. There's only one team that's below 500 in the Eastern Conference. That's the New York Rangers. Everybody else, including the Panthers, are at exactly 500. Where if you look in the West, you've got three teams below 500, but then also the teams that are getting in. Edmonton is the top of the Pacific with 87 points. We've got 102 right now, just as a comparison. That's a massive differential. 87 points doesn't even get you a sniff of a wild card spot in the East. You still have the Islanders and the Red Wings and the Blue Jackets and the Capitals who have 87 or more points that aren't in the wild card yet.
Damn, I think it was 92 points the Canadians got to sneak into the playoffs with last year in the second wild card spot. And that would
be
division leading right now. Like that's absolutely insane. It's going to have to be, close to 100 points for any Eastern team to make these playoffs. That is just crazy how the talent differential between the West and the East. Of course, you've got the big dogs and the Avalanche and the Wild and Dallas.
The path is going to be much easier for the team that's in the West in order to get to the Stanley Cup Finals outside of the conference finals for sure. And since you mentioned Montreal, why don't we rewind things a little bit to last week and discuss the only loss that we had since the last show, which was that Montreal Canadiens game. That's all the way back last Tuesday where seemed like it was a decent start for the Bolts. It was 1-1 after the first. Of course, the Lightning didn't get the first goal of the game, where they've had kind of traditionally bad starts for this past, ever since the Olympic break. But then they just couldn't get it together in the second, or the third for that matter. Ended up giving up two empty net goals in a game that was closer than the score would suggest, being 4-1. It was really a two-goal game going into that third, but the Lightning weren't able to click on the power play. And I think that's probably where they missed out. This was it was a tough game where they went 0-4 on it.
It's kind of a confusing game, especially if you're just watching the box score as well. I would say that the Lightning were probably the better team throughout that game, throughout the full 60 minutes of it. But at the same time, it was not flawless at all. It's not a game that you can say you got goal lead by Jakub Dobesh, who did have a really, really good game. But it did seem like it was more of a shot quantity type of situation versus quality situation. There weren't, I would say, too many super good chances. There were some great, scramble chances, just net front battles, loose pucks that Dobish might have gotten a little lucky on, or just, the defense in front of him were able to get sticks on it and just ruin a good chance. But there was a lot of a good bit of issues in this game. The continuing theme of the Lightning not being able to counter the rush is a really big one. That's one thing that they have really struggled with over the last couple of weeks, maybe this entire year, but it's glaring this week, these last couple of weeks, on just the speed the teams are attacking with. There's not really a good way that they can cope. It seems like they'd rather
be hemmed into
the zone and dealing with
a good setup
versus, a 3-on-2 or a high-speed rush chance, something like that. And that's kind of what undid them in this game. Montreal did take advantage of some wide-open passing lanes. And, Vazzy,
That game-winning goal that Cole Caulfield had was Slavkovsky. He slipped it between the defensemen in a way that is, I think, inexcusable for the defensemen to have lost a 47 goal scorer trailing the play on the backside. I mean, that's, and then going into a prime scoring area to have two of our guys completely lose track of them, where really it was just one guy entering the zone solo, throwing it back to a wide open Caulfield, who I don't even think he shot, to be honest. I think he just put his stick on the ice, allowed the momentum of the puck to flex it, and it kind of like rebounded back off of his stick. It wasn't like it was a tap-in goal for him, and ended up costing the Lightning the game.
One of the best abilities of any goal scorer is the ability to disappear. I'm not entirely sure how he did manage to vanish. I can't remember the two defensemen that were on the ice for it, but yeah.
Sure, Mosier was one of them, and then actually I got the tracker right here, so it looks like Mosier and Radish.
Oh, wow. Rare
for that matter, there's also Sorelli that was back as well. So we had three guys back, and it went past Mosier, went past Sorelli.
three guys that I'd all consider to be extremely defensively responsible, even Darren Radish now.
Yeah,
his whole defensive game has changed.
It's just unfortunate because, like you said, it was a tighter game, a one goal game, and letting in a kind of a stinker of a goal to cost you a winning streak.
It is my bad because I did say last week I was like, I'm not afraid of Montreal. I'll give them to me, and of course to make me eat my words the very next day. It was an upsetting loss, that's for sure. Of course, every 2 points matters. Every point matters in the standings right now. You want to be gunning for that first pick or first spot in the division. And it was a crucial game. It was one that you really didn't want to lose at all. But again, the score was not as bad as the actual game was.
That's why you see two empty net goals, trying to fight your way back. I don't blame that goal on Vasi at all. Yeah. Otherwise, he would have essentially stopped. I don't want to do the math on how many goals he would have stopped or how many shots, because was that minus two more? I don't know. He would have like a 0.95 save percentage. For the sake of time, why don't we move on to the next game, which again, still having that Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday schedule. The next one up was a game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And this was also, I'm not going to say it was a huge game, but it was a game that, this is another team that right now they're second in the Metro. So it's like a playoff preview sort of team. And the Lightning, I don't know, it's so close, but they ended up just absolutely walking away with this one for a score of 3-6. But, the Pittsburgh Penguins came out firing first, got the lead, but the second period was all bolts.
Oh, yeah. And the third period was just shut down as well. Like the Penguins shut down internally, and it was nothing but the Lightning. Yeah, the first period, it was ugly.
Five shots in the third period for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Jeez, yeah.
No,
it was your perfectly on-brand, very slow start for the Lightning, and then, yeah, just the rest of the game seemed to have happened to go way into the Lightning's favor. Yeah, it was an interesting game, and not necessarily an important game. I mean, every game's important for the Lightning right now, but much bigger implications for
the Penguins
and other
metropolitan
teams in the
divisional
and wild card playoff race that
they're all in.
I know Islanders fans were cheering
about this.
Philadelphia fans,
who'd have thought they're making a run for the playoffs as well? But no,
there's really not a whole lot to be said about this game.
Like, I don't think
it was anything out of the ordinary. It really wasn't.
Again, going back to the on-brand
slow start and just taking over the rest of the game.
Got to give our love to
Anthony Cirelli. He was great in this game, getting that shorthanded goal to really kick off that brutal second period for the Penguins.
That's exactly what it was, is kicking it off, because it was basically right after the face-off drop happened, and he put on the jets and gave the Lightning a momentum shift to really get them kick-started into that second.
And then they just carried all
that momentum into the third.
I really
can't think of many dangerous Pittsburgh plays
from
that moment on. And to control a game that well for two periods, again,
I think Pittsburgh
is a much more inferior opponent. I'm not entirely worried about them. I think their team's got a lot of issues. I think they're further along in their curve than they really should be.
But
to control a game like
that
does give me some good, very good vibes.
I think,
last week I was saying, the resiliency, being able to
come back
and
claw your way back
into these games. And
now you're
controlling these games pretty
good
handedly
for an extended period of
time. Again, you only
did it against
Pittsburgh.
You're going to see it a little bit
different against Boston, but
it
was a really, really good
game for the Lightning.
Biggest bummer
in this game was
the goal with
1 second
left.
I will say that was one hell of a shot. That was an incredible shot.
I had people waiting on me, and I
watched
these games with my
friends online,
and the
game was over.
It was 6-2 with
4 minutes
left. Like, Matt, come on.
Like, you were gonna
go play
NHL or something.
I'm like, nah, I want to finish
the game.
Finally, they bully me into turning
it off with like a minute
left.
And
of course,
I was like, listen,
you made me miss a goal.
So now I
gotta go back and watch it.
19:58 is what the time says, that so the opposite of that. So less than 2 seconds left in the game for that late goal. Speaking of stats, there's a number of interesting stats. The we've talked about it at length earlier in the season, how when the Lightning don't win faceoffs, they tend to win the game. The Lightning were absolutely pathetic with only a 39.1% at faceoff wins, but handily won the game, obviously. Also, Cirelli getting his hat trick. And then this was Gergensen's game where he got a goal for his 100th in his career, a number that, honestly, I didn't know he had that many. He's had a long career, but, you know, really exciting to see him hit a milestone like that.
I'm going to be honest. I thought he would have had more. Like, I know he's never been, like, a superstar or anything, but he was, you know, a top six kind of player in Buffalo. He made the All-Star game 1 year.
I mean, I know he's been in the league for, I think it's 11 years now, something like that.
But, you know, obviously his role has transitioned greatly with the Lightning. And what is it? What was that, like his eighth goal this year or something like that?
Yeah, the transformation. Yeah,
ninth.
The transformation and blossom from him, I guess we'll say the dog,
has been
just amazing
to see this year. But yeah, that was the game-winning goal as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the game-winning goal. It's his ninth on the season. His best season ever was back in 2014-15, where he had a total of 15 goals, 15 assists for 30 points. Since then, the most points that he had in a season, he's had 22 his rookie season, but after that 30-point season, he has had 18, and one 19 season. He's got 18 right now, so there's potential for this to be, you know, if he gets just like one more point here, it would basically be his best season since like his rookie year.
Dang, I might have been, you know, overinflating his stats a little bit, but, you know, with Buffalo, you got to think
those
terrible Buffalo teams in the mid-2010s, you got to grade on a curve. So 30 points, 15 and 15, that's kind of like being an 80-point guy in today's NHL too. So maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's doing well right now. Obviously, he's in a good place in terms of him feeling comfortable out there with his line mates. It's made a huge difference, I think, in the Lightning's overall productivity for sure. I have a comment here by Beverly saying, don't you think it's time for Nick Paul to start heating up? It's another guy that definitely would like to see, you know, a character guy that, you know, when he's playing well, the rest of the team plays well too. And it seems almost in a sense that Gergensen's been sort of playing that role where he's kind of finishing more pucks than Nick Paul has as of late. I wonder if he's also still maybe fighting something with an injury there.
I hope not.
He's definitely, you know, he's such a fan favorite kind of player, in my opinion. I've loved him since he came over. I thought he was the better of the two between him and Hagel when they got traded at nearly the same time. And he's definitely left a lot to be desired this year. I'm not going to fault him for it. He's dealt with injuries for long stretches. It's hard to get back into game rhythm and game shape.
I
know he can do better. Again, this is a guy, what, he had back-to-back 20-goal seasons or high teen seasons?
Yep, 24. With his first season with the Lightning, he basically had 16 when he, you know, combining with his Ottawa stats, then 17, then 24, 22, and he's down to 6. He only has 6. Now, mind you, he's lost 33 games that he's been out, almost half a season with injury. So it's a noticeable decline, but even if you double those numbers, put it up to 12, he's still pretty far off that 20-goal pace.
Absolutely, and I think the third line's probably been the one that's been the least consistent, the, you know, the line that he kind of, I guess, slots in on. The lines for the Lightning are so weird, but not even talking about productivity-wise, but just who gets to play on it,
you know, what it is.
The fourth line, you know, with Gergensen and Holmberg has been pretty much the most solid line in terms of consistency on who's on it and how they're playing the whole year.
The third line is just kind of the experiment line.
I guess you can call it the third line. You know, there's been, you know, a Dominic James or a Corey Perry. You know, there's just been a lot of people on it. Hard to find a good rhythm.
Chafee played in this Pittsburgh game.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was, you know, he was.
I thought he was pretty good
in this game. I mean, there was,
getting, you know, his legs back.
A couple mistakes,
but, you know,
I do like the energy that he brings.
But again, I think it's Paul hasn't had the
teammates to really find any consistency or groove with,
and again,
dealing with whatever he might be dealing with.
I know
he can be better, so I'm not
entirely worried about him
just yet,
but
it would be nice if he could,
you know,
get back to being that Nick Paul
does it all
kind of guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to the Boston Bruins game that was next, you know, the Lightning continued their winning ways. This was on Saturday, winning a final score of 3-1. it's another game that would seem pretty tight for quite a bit of it. You know, Boston is a team that right now in the standings, they're fighting for that wild card spot. They got it, you know, they're in a pretty good position there with 95 points, where the wild card two is at 90. But, you know, with this this close to the end of the season, you can't take any points for granted at all. Lightning, you know, continued that statistic of absolutely being terrible in faceoffs. They're even worse with 31% in the circle. But got the win, and like I said, 3-1, and outshot the Boston Bruins by 23-22.
This was a scary game.
Of course, probably the I guess the Montreal had the biggest playoff implications, but it was definitely a scary game for pretty much the entirety of it.
Definitely did not look good in, what was it, the second period or late in the first period, where they just couldn't get anything on net. They couldn't get out of their zone. Boston was doing a really good job, you know, applying the heat early, applying the pressure early. And a tale as old as time, you know, once the, you know, late second, you know, early third comes around, you really, really start to push back, you know, just for a greater picture of this game. Little physical this game too. Tanner Janot was in there, you know, trying to stir things up. He did get a wicked cross, or not a cross check, but a two-hand slash. I can't remember on who. Didn't get called. I think the officiating was pretty bad in this game. Of course, you know, usually I can, you know, be man enough to say,
you know, maybe
I'm just being biased or something, but it objectively was pretty bad in this game
with that
2 minutes and 35 second power play early in the first. I know that doesn't
really fall on
the on-ice officials,
maybe more so
the timekeepers in the penalty box, but that was a really interesting scenario. I've never seen anything like that, quite like that before.
I do want to give a shout-out to one of my buddies who was actually in the penalty box working. You know, it was kind of funny because they showed him on TV for a moment and got to see, you know, some screenshots shared around my friend group. So, you know, he was pretty busy with some of those. I liked the fact that we got scoring from our defense. The last game we were talking about some milestones. This one, there is a really big milestone as well. Destu putting up, the hell of an effort, getting his own rebound to open the scoring. But then Darren Radish getting the 21st goal of the season as a defenseman, and then that setting the record for a Lightning defenseman in one season, which is it's a bittersweet sort of thing to see, right? Because you got to feel for Hedy, who's going through some tough times right now, and he was tied with Dan Boyle at 20 goals, and then in comes Bald Eagle, and he's been playing so well this season, he's really deserved it.
I don't think, you know, that's got to be a bummer for Hedman. You know, when I think of him, you know, I don't know if I
think
he's, you know, a team guy.
You know, he's such a
lovable person
and just always,
you know, positive this and just radiating good energy. I think he'd be extremely stoked for his teammate. Even
if this
is like a
flash in the pan
season for Darren Radish, what a season it has been. It
might be a really,
really funny answer to a
trivia question
in 10, 15
years or something.
Like, you would think it would
be a
Victor Hedman or a
Dan Boyle,
Pavel Kubina. Nope, Darren
Radish.
So
I
think everyone's probably pretty
stoked
for him. Again, he seems like
a pretty loved guy
in the locker room as well.
I don't think
Hedman's, you know,
bummed
about it.
I definitely would hope not. It's a great game-winning goal by Radish. And with that, the Lightning get, four of the six possible points. I mean, they're so close in that Canadiens game to be able to open it up. Man, there's some really good chances, but all these points are mattering in the standings here as, you know, we start to see the seeding get figured out like we were speaking about before. There was one other stat that I was looking at. Let's see if I can pull it up quickly enough here. All right, so Kucherov had that empty net goal. That put him at 125 points on the season. Connor McDavid is at 126 points. So he's only one behind. And as of right now, the Lightning have, what is that? That would be 8 games left to go. The Avalanche also have 8 games left to go. You have any predictions?
As much as I want to.
Oh, and also, well, let me throw one other caveat into that. We're done playing teams in the West. So the ability to bully some lower level teams is pretty much gone for the Lightning.
Listen, we don't stat pad around here. You know, all these points are earned ethically by Kucherov. So
he did have a bit of a
quiet week, a rare quiet week. And no, I mean, as much as I'd love for him to win,
it might be
the Connor McDavid show.
It might be, you know, him pulling away. They're probably going to end up neck and neck. I want him to finish higher than Nathan MacKinnon. But again,
all the last three times that Kucherov has
won the Art
Ross Trophy,
it's been
pretty mediocre in the playoffs. So I think it'd be really cool
in the history book
seeing Kucherov three straight times and a fourth
couple years before,
but I'd probably rather have a decent
chance in the playoffs.
That's my tinfoil hat theory.
So it's like the face-offs. If we win too many face-offs, we lose the game. If we win too much hardware in the regular season, we don't get it all in the post.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
these, you know, multi-award winning seasons, maybe
not a
good
sign for Lightning.
Again, it's cool on paper,
but
I would trade, you know, a lot of these players' trophies for Stanley Cups.
That's fair enough. And that's a perfect segue where you don't have to compromise. You can settle for having the best for yourself by going to shop.rblrsports.com. Get yourself some swag. Collect some gear, stuff that is like Tampa Bay-inspired merch, be it Lightning, Rowdies, Rays, Bucks. Shop.rblrsports.com. And be sure to use code Bolts and to get 10% off your order. All right, let's move on to the three stars of the week. And we're not, like you said, it was a relatively quiet week for Nikita Kucherov, so we'll go back to calling it the Nikita Kucherov three stars of the week. And starting us off, Eureka, if you could throw it up on the screen for us. Or do you not have it prepped? Don't have that one up. All right, so we'll do it without you know, showing in on it. We'll go with Charles Edward Dastu as the number three star of the week, a guy that I think he played really, really well in some of these games. And, you know, he's been a guy that's eating up a lot of minutes. You know, he had over 20 minutes, almost 21 minutes in that Pittsburgh game where he got a critical assist, opened the scoring with Boston. He ended up being a plus three in those two games. Yeah, he's a negative two against Montreal, but he has been such a dynamic player for us on defense and has been playing really well.
Yeah,
and Tom Davis, one of our writers here at RBLR, he covers the Lightning. He does some really good articles. Go check out some of his work. He reminded me during this, was it the Pittsburgh or it was the Boston game, where he said, you know,
locking him up for,
you know, an extra year at $875,000
is
such a steal.
It is such a steal.
If he
just waited
a little bit, you know, it could be in the 1.5, maybe even the $2 million range for
even longer
or whatever it might be, but you got him
next year for $875,000.
That's looking like a very minor steal right there. So I'm loving
that.
Hopefully he gets some more playing time next year.
He's
stepped into this, you know,
injured
role with Victor Hedman out. And just like Darren Radish has
flourished
in this role,
maybe, you know,
a bit
shaky
defensively, but he's still, you know, rough. He can move the puck
pretty well. He's got
a good couple
goals on the season
as well, getting one in this
Boston game,
a crucial
game tying goal
at the time, and just a
dogged goal
too. He
loves to roam
around, skate, you know,
skate up the ice.
You know, he looks like a forward
half the time
too. So just a great
offensive
defenseman that I'm glad,
you know,
he's had success
everywhere
he's gone.
Hopefully he can be a mainstay
in the NHL, you know,
fix a couple
things here and there. But for
a first-year player,
I love
his game.
He just gets better and better
every single game.
I'm liking it as well. 6 goals, 23 assists on the season so far. Guy that came out of nowhere, you know, and then has really been impressing. So, yeah, for your number three star, we have Dastu. Moving on to the number two star of the week, a guy that got a hat trick, a guy that's been all over the ice, and especially when Brandon Hagel's not on it, you feel his presence even that much more. Anthony Cirelli.
Man, what a week. What a
season he's been having,
actually. Bummer
that he couldn't make it
to the Olympics. I do
maintain
that if he did get to go,
Canada
would have won. He would have been
more effective than
Sam Bennett or I forget who else they replaced him with, but
Canada would have won if
they had an Anthony Cirelli. And just
what, again,
what another great season he's having, hitting that
20-plus
goal mark again. He did
that a while ago.
And capping it off with a hat trick, too. You know,
I know I said
something about no stat
pad, all
ethical goals. He didn't get the
empty netter for the hat
trick, but, you know, who cares?
Throw the hats. What a
performer. The way he plays with Brandon Hagel as well, just one of the most
dynamic and
brutal
penalty killers
in the league and a great two-way player. It's a shame
he doesn't have a Selke
trophy by now.
I think he really
deserved it last year.
I think he
put up, you know, 60-something
points.
Somehow they gave it to Barkov again for being objectively
the worst
defensive player of the three
that were nominated.
But anyway,
you know, let's move
past that. I do have
some bad news
about the whole situation.
Oh,
he's out tonight.
Anthony Cirelli.
He's out too.
Yep, just
came down the pipeline
a couple of minutes ago that
he is
missing tonight's game.
So did they hint towards anything like an illness? Because I still have a feeling that that's going around a little bit there.
I sure hope so.
I can,
my
notification's
gone, but I can go try and find it.
I do want to point out that this season he, you know, that goal against Boston. He has, what was the goal? No, the first goal against Pittsburgh. He has two shorthanded goals this season, a little bit off of his normal pace because he had four last season, but a total of four shorthanded points. Last season, he had seven shorthanded points. He's got 19 shorthanded goals in his career. That's an incredible amount. That's a fifth of Gergensen's total goal count, basically, he has for shorthanded goals.
Injury update.
Anthony Cirelli
will not play tonight due to
injury.
He's listed as day-to-day.
Okay. Well, I don't mind resting him either, especially because it was a much more physical game. I'm assuming that Sabourin must be in this game, you know, rest some of these guys because, you know, we got playoffs right around the corner. If you got a little tweak and ailment, if you have a little Chernak, then, you know, give yourself the night off. Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah, I'll take
it. So hopefully
it's nothing
ailing him too good, because
again, he's just been
so on
fire as
of late. Again, I
think I'm,
you know,
partial to
take credit for this
little hot streak that
he's been going on. Again, I had him
on my fantasy
team and I dropped him,
and then he just
starts going off, you know,
getting all these goals.
So. It's definitely on you.
You're welcome, guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least he's given some other guys an opportunity to jump into this three stars, because he's a perennial favorite. He's always seeming to be on this list, and that's with Anthony Cirelli. So moving on to number one star of the week, a guy that also had a big game when he was going up against Pittsburgh there, where he scored his 100th goal of his career, character guy, and that's going to be Zygmunt Gergensen.
You know,
We went over the list, and you did
throw a curveball
at me. You're like, you know, a
perennial favorite
for this list. I was like, wait,
who did we pick
again?
Again,
what a
rejuvenating
season that he did
have. I was
starting to go off on my
tangent a little bit earlier.
I just, every time we
talk about these players,
I just want to get it out of the way. I
never wait for the
stars list. But again, just
the
difference, you know, a year
can make
in, you know,
a new
system to you. He is, you know, I'm not going to say he's the lifeblood of
that fourth
line, but the way
that he plays
with, you know, his line
mates on that line,
they brought Gordon each other up significantly.
Absolutely.
Gord, man. I mean, he's been flying around.
Of course,
this is the Gergensen
segment, but you
can't give love
to just
one of them, because they play so
well as
a cohesive
unit,
not even an individual,
you know,
kind of player. They just
play great
together.
His stats probably don't show
it for this week, but again,
the way
you know, how dogged
he is, the way
he plays, he's not, you know,
super rough
and tumble kind of guy, but
he's somebody that I
wouldn't want to be out there against.
You know, you're gonna
he's gonna
finish every
single check, even if it's just
a regular
get you off the puck check
kind of deal,
and just goes
to the front of the
net, goes to the paint.
He had
an opportunity,
I think it was maybe
in the Montreal game
or maybe
last week
sometimes, where he just
goes to the front of the net.
And
then he
gets this the
game-winning goal in Pittsburgh.
A beautiful,
you know, backhand goal in the locker room for the post-game.
John Cooper
made a funny little
quip. Did you
see this at all, Joe?
I don't think that I saw that one, no.
So I think they were giving
him the,
you know, 100th goal puck.
And
I think he said,
even with
the net completely empty,
Gergensen's,
you went far post.
He did, you know.
He almost didn't go. He almost put it through the grease. Yeah,
he almost sailed it wide, but you know they don't ask how; they ask how many, and it's 100 now. So good for Zemgus Girgensons. What a player!
I'm glad to have you.
It's 100, like you said, 9-9 this season, for 18 points. One thing that looking at his stats here is worthy of noting is last season he was averaging right around 11 minutes 40 seconds worth of ice time per game. So it's about 11 minutes. Now he's up to 14 minutes. So it's an increase of almost 30% of ice time from last season. That's a significant jump in numbers for a guy to be responsible for. So it's, you know, he's not just playing better. He's playing more because of it too. And, great guy to get the first star of the week.
Absolutely.
And again, maybe last year he had a little bit of Connor Sherry syndrome where he just kind of
doing some cardio, just kind of looked just
like a guy out there. But
again, the way
and the guys
that he plays with,
it's a great
line.
It's the energy
line now.
I think it was in the I can't remember which game it was. Maybe this Boston game where he just kept putting
this line
out and he started the game
with them.
And
I think he started
maybe the second period with
them just to
get into the game.
Of course, that
first period was a
little ugly, but
they didn't look bad on the ice
at all.
It's the other lines that do, but when
they have the
puck, when they're on the ice,
it's usually,
150
to 200
feet away from Vasilevsky.
Yeah, they definitely find a way to grind that puck when they get it into the other end. Not a guy that I'd want to, play against, with that sort of, he's strong, man. He's you see him body people off the puck, and his board play is, I think, a little bit underappreciated. I don't know that we've really talked about it that much, but he's not the fastest guy, but he's still a guy that's super solid. Like you said, almost like what we've seen out of Nick Paul in previous roles.
It's a good person
to draw a
comparison to.
So I guess Beverly has a comment here saying Connor Sherry scored his first goal with the Rangers last night, 11 seconds in.
No, I think that
was just the first goal in the game. He's got a couple.
Okay.
Yeah, but
I do know that
the Rangers fans
have been
very
displeased with him this year.
I mean, they could have just, watched a Lightning game. Actually, I don't even know how you would watch Connor Sherry, because there's no highlights, right?
No.
I mean, I'm not even trying to trash a player, just what would you show somebody to tell them to indicate the type of player that Connor Sherry is? And it's just going to be like it's one of those ones where it's like the featured cam where it just focuses on one player kind of skating around the ice when they're not engaged. Like they'll do that for Kucherov every now and then, right? You'll see him just kind of do circles. And then all of a sudden he has the puck. It goes the other way. 2 seconds later, it's in the back of the net. But Connor Sherry more or less just be him kind of skating around.
I would show
somebody one of those stat cards
where it tells you
0 goals,
0 assists,
0 points,
0 blocks,
0 hits, 16 minutes,
11 seconds
of ice time.
There's
a reason why
he
got labeled
Cardi
O'Connor here
for
2 years.
Well, let's take a look at the road ahead as, we kind of get towards the end of the show, getting ready for a game that's going to be going on tonight. We already talked about it. It's the rematch against Buffalo. Then they got a 24-hour break before going into Ottawa. Another game against the Canadiens on Thursday, and then again against Boston on Saturday to round out the week. We'll probably try doing another early show for you guys next Monday because they again play a Monday night game, this one against the Red Wings at 7. Are any of these ones that, I don't know, every single one of these games, I don't know that it has me nervous, but either these can be some really tough games for this week because they're all teams that I would almost say it's a 50-50 on who's going to win for all four of these.
All four of these teams are hungry, man.
Wait, we play the
Red Wings?
I'm saying on Monday of next week. So our show will have to be a quicker, earlier one as well.
Gotcha.
No, I mean,
this is grind time
right now.
Hopefully,
you
can catch some of these teams
if they're
in a state of free fall or something like
Detroit,
but
we're not
in March anymore. So they
might be
actually playing decent hockey. Interesting. The Eisner plan is a very interesting situation right now.
But as far as the other teams we got going,
all Atlantic teams, all hungry teams,
teams battling for
first, teams battling for a wild card spot.
Boston, you know,
they're kind of somewhere
in the middle between a divisional and a wild card spot.
None of these are going to
be easy. And
of course, you know, last week
I was saying,
I'll take second in the
division. You know,
who cares? No, I want first in the
division now.
I want to play wild card
two team.
I don't care how hot they're coming in. You
need to get
as many points as possible
and keep all these
guys below you because.
Yeah, they are
in first right now.
Buffalo this game
tonight, and what, there's
another one
later on this week,
two against Buffalo,
two huge games,
one against
Montreal,
another
huge game, and then the other is
maybe not quite as
important, but it's more important
to them,
so they're going to come out swinging.
You gotta
try, and
of course it's not going to happen,
most likely not
winning all these
games, but
it'd be really, really
nice.
It'd be nice. I mean, this is, you know, almost like a playoff preview. Mm-hmm. At the very least, these are great games to watch to start to get familiar with some of the other teams again in terms of what you're going to see in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, at least one of them won't be making it that we're playing, you know, this week, guaranteed. So that's the, you know, fighting for the wild card spot between Boston, who have a 5-point lead in the wild card with 7 games to go. But then that wild card two is a spot that's up for grabs basically between Ottawa and Detroit. But then you also have the Islanders, Columbus, and Washington within 3 points of them. So
is Philly in a
divisional playoff spot?
They have 90 points in a divisional spot. So the only people that can really catch them are the Islanders. But if the Islanders catch them, then, you know, that basically just swaps out for the wild card. So it's much closer race for these wild card spots. Usually we always say that like the magic number is right around 100 points in order to get into the playoffs. If you're in the West Coast, it's not even going to be close to needing that many, but it looks like it's going to hold pretty true in the East. And, you know, we got a busy week to look forward to. And again, another one that's starting in about 20 minutes here. Got any final thoughts for the show?
Yeah, we got, you know, a couple minutes to spare. We won't be long. What do you think of the Islanders
canning Patrick
Waugh this
late into the season?
I thought that was a really, really strange decision, mostly because that they're also a cusp team, right? Mm-hmm. They're really tight in that wild card race. And look, they're 3-7 in their last 10. I get that they're on now a 4-game losing streak, but what are you going to do to, you know, for this season, you know, bringing in, who would they bring in again? They brought
Pete DeBoer.
Pete DeBoer, yeah. How is he going to turn this team around? And, you know, it's also, I think, a really bad look for what you did to a head coach. There has to have been something more behind behind closed doors, which I would 100% think would happen with Waugh. That, you know, there's some arguments and it probably got heated to go ahead and facilitate that.
I mean, everyone knows how Patrick Waugh is as a player and as a coach.
Like, he gets heated.
He'll be
screaming at you,
you know, going crazy. But I do think it's also an interesting decision. I think they're way further along, kind of like Pittsburgh,
I was saying
earlier, on
where they
should be right now. Like,
they should have been,
you know, a
bottom 16
team. You know, they might
end up as being
that, but I think,
you know,
Matthew Schaefer is really blossoming
under
Patrick Waugh. Of course,
he's a generational
talent.
It's probably not the
coach that's getting it out of him,
but,
you know, you don't want to completely stunt
who he is as a
player with an
entirely new
system.
It's going to be weird and
jarring for,
you know, the rest of the
players as well. Again, you're
5 games
away from the postseason
if
you make it or not.
I understood.
It feels like it's you're cashing it in, right?
No, I
think it's kind of a
last grasp
kind of move. So,
okay.
You know, make a strong push,
you know, get some
energy just to get
into the playoffs.
New coach bump is
entirely a true
thing. And I think Coach Pete
DeBoer, I think
he's a guy that, you know,
can get
teams pretty far in the
playoffs.
Never win, but he
gets teams pretty
far.
I understood
Vegas's reason for
canning.
Was it Bruce Cassidy?
And getting
John Tortorella in.
They're a team that
should be better.
And they're a team
that has been
underperforming,
utilizing their players
horribly
wrong.
There's someone that'll light a fire under your ass. They definitely have it with Torts.
Absolutely.
He'll get those guys really working hard.
So
I understood it more for that.
But I wanted to get
your take on the Wong
situation.
But it is still perplexing to me.
Yeah, I'd never enjoy seeing coaches get canned midseason. I don't know why, but I just never been a big fan of his. Maybe it's basketball. Maybe it is because he's just caustic, and I don't tend to like it. But that was surprising to me for sure. And you know, hey, if the Islanders are able to sneak in, I'd love to be able to match up and eliminate them in the first round when they, you know, don't have their strategy quite as refined as the Lightning will.
I hope this doesn't come back to bite us. And I'll end this
on
a better note, something positive.
Dominic James,
he was skating again.
He's actually traveling
with the team right now
on this road trip
too. So
I heard he did the morning skate with the team. I don't know that they fully announced if he would play or not. I don't know if the lineup came out, but it'd be cool if he was able to get, at least get in a couple of games, because man, I was so high on that kid before he got injured. He was playing really well.
He was playing
amazing in the game
that he got injured.
But again, you know, he's traveling with the team. Don't rush him back or anything like that. But maybe with, you know, Cirelli and Hagel out. Oh, God, what's our penalty kill going to be?
that's going to be scary.
We got Jake Gensel.
Don't worry.
Cooch out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Noted shorthanded
goal legend.
But yeah, good to see Dominic
James, you know,
back into almost ready to play games.
Well, with that, we'll let you guys enjoy the game tonight. Can't wait to talk about it more next week. Be sure to like and subscribe. Join us in the comments and hit the notification bell so you always know when we're going live. Thank you again for watching us, RBLR Sports Lightning, and go Bolts.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.